Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hello and welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today program. It's the August preview, and I'm your host, Tom Majeure, with two of my fellow workers, which is John Duman. He's the editor and IT leader here at Strong Tower Radio. Welcome back, John.
Thank you, Tom. It's good to be here.
And also we have Cam Ferguson, our development director. Welcome back.
Thank you, Tom. I enjoy being a part of this.
All right. John, would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Absolutely. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings you bestow upon us. We pray, Lord, that this broadcast will interest people and they will be blessed by hearing it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Well, John, I really appreciate the privilege of working with you, and particularly we brainstorm and come up with different topics, and this one is for the newsletter for August. It's the mailed edition, the ministry news, and I do appreciate what you do.
Thank you. We didn't really have to brainstorm much for this topic, though.
That's right. It just kind of was seasonal. We are in the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence, and we're still rolling with that theme. The fireworks may have drifted out of sight, but we're still remembering the important milestone that we're covering here.
Yes, we are.
And so tell us a little bit about who we have writing this article and the direction we took.
Now, this is one of our favorite speakers here at Strong Tower Radio. He is a longtime speaker for Strong Tower, and he's been a pastor for many, 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 many years, as well as the president of the Michigan Conference at one time. And we love to have him help us out.
Absolutely. Well, Pastor Jay, your article was American Freedom and the Mark of the Beast. That's kind of at two ends of the spectrum. We think of the Mark of the Beast as a controlling force against people's wills, of coercion, and you think of American freedom, which is at the other end of the spectrum. Can you explain?
Yeah, thank you. Nice to be with all of you, and this is a great topic and a great time to do it, since it's the 250th anniversary of American freedom. What a great celebration we all should be having. I think many Americans don't really realize either the basis or the foundation of their freedom, and they celebrate something that they're grateful for, but don't always understand where it came from. So I want to turn the clock back in order to answer your question. Why would we talk about American freedom and the mark of the beast? Most people believe, and I'm one of them, the mark of the beast is still in the future, that it brings an end to freedom, that it's a forcing power that takes over the world in the end of time. And it's a lot of talk about that. American freedom comes and starts in 1776 with the Declaration of Independence signed on July 4, as we all know. And I will just start out by saying, and hope folk will be able to read the article, and in a short article of 500-600 words, you can only say so much. So I'm hoping that people will go back and actually do some research. The Declaration of Independence that we have states a truth. It's so profound, and yet it's obvious, but unbelievably, it has been, or astonishingly, we might say, it has been resisted. In other words, the American experiment in freedom that we are all enjoying and have enjoyed for 250 years, you can't hardly find it on the pages of history. There's hardly any place that you can go where you can find a nation or a government that actually gives people freedom based on this, and that's the Declaration of Independence says, a truth that is profound, that all men are created equally and endowed with certain unalienable rights. Now, that word unalienable is not a common word we use nowadays, but it simply means it cannot be denied. These rights cannot be denied. They cannot be changed. because they are ingrained in our very being and existence. So why would American freedom be such a unique thing? Well, if you go back through history, you'll find that most nations have been ruled by despots, dictators, kings who were not very good kings. Many of them, they were just selfish people who looked at their whole nations as their place to enslave people that they set at the top of the food chain, so to speak. And then, of course, you've got the experiments we have in communism. We have the overthrow in the French Revolution of the government there and the institution of atheism because they were so mad at the religious powers that had ruined their lives. The people that were running the nation at that point appears to be the Jesuits. And they just couldn't take it anymore. They just rebelled against it and threw out all religion. And, of course, over in Moscow and Russia, a man by the name of Lenin took note and, of course, incorporated atheism into the communist revolution. And communism, all it did was just trade who was in charge. They just traded one set of dictators for another set of dictators. And there's no true freedom there. They've got all this flowery language in their constitution, but it doesn't mean a thing. And so people have just been persecuted. You've got people like the Nazis, another one. I mean, they're just a bunch of thugs running a nation, and very evil thugs, they might add to it. So, and all of these isms and these despots have cost the lives of millions of people. Now, this is probably a little uncomfortable to talk about. Nowadays, I'm thankful I have friends on that are many different denominations, Protestants, Baptists, Catholics, so forth. And I think in America, one of the most beautiful things, I think, Tom, you and I mentioned that in our talk together, that when they were celebrating the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, they had a parade, I think it was in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia, and a Catholic priest, if I remember the story correctly, locked arms with a Jewish rabbi and a Protestant minister, and they paraded down the street with everybody else, rejoicing in the fact that they all had religious freedom. And they all believed things diametrically the opposite and so forth. But during the Dark Ages, that wasn't true. In the Dark Ages, you risk your life if you took on the medieval Roman papacy, and they had horrible tortures. Millions of people lost their lives because of trying to follow their conscience. And that is the background of the Protestant Reformation. And here's something else that I want to throw in here at this moment. And this is not comfortable. People don't talk about it because they don't want to build barriers. Nobody wants to build barriers, but you all want to love one another. That's the great commandment. But you have to look at history. You have to understand where the setting is. But it was so bad. The Dark Ages were brutal and nasty and short, as I think one historian said. And that ended with Napoleon taking the Pope captive in 1798, which is not that far off from the American Revolution and the institution of this American Constitution. It's that background. And the Protestant Reformation came around 1517, something like that, and started. It changed Europe. It changed the face of the world. It brought in these concepts that men should be able to worship according to the dictates of their own conscience, even the Protestants. Some of them did not understand very well religious freedom right here in America. When they came to America, many of them just wanted a place where they could be the dictator with their own religion, so to speak. But thank God for Roger Williams, who was run out of the Puritan communities up there in New England, spent winters with the Indians, but he prevailed, and his thought prevailed, that no man should be persecuted for his religious convictions. He should be free to worship God accordingly, and that concept made its way into the American mindset. This is Protestantism, the birth of Protestantism, and the New Testament. The Bible has been restored to people. They can now read, and they read that wonderful teaching of Jesus that we should do unto others as we would have them to do unto us. So if we want freedom for ourselves, then we should be willing and ready to give it to anybody else. That would be the basis of what the whole nation is really built on it. So out of Protestantism, out of this revolt against the horrors of the Dark Ages and religious persecution, this nation is born. This nation doesn't have an existence with its principles of American freedom without the Protestant Reformation. So what does that mean about the future? Well, we're enjoying this, but the Bible, I believe, gentlemen, and I encourage our readers, when you get through hearing this broadcast, just get your Bible out. Go home tonight and just read Revelation chapter 13. And I think here's the outline. It comes in. The outline is that it's 1,260 years of papal persecution, started in 538 with the great Emperor Justinian, who made it possible for the Pope to be the one and only, person who oversaw all the ministers. That's where they, and that included the Greek Orthodox. And they had to go to him to get their religious issues straightened out and so forth. And his general made that possible. He took Rome, the city of Rome, away from the Ostrogoths, who did not give allegiance to the Pope, threw them out, and in essence made the Pope the ruler of the Christian Church in Western Europe, or most of Europe. So anyway, then that was, and then it's 1,260 years in the day for the year principle. And then you get into chapter 13, and you read about this power that rises from the earth. It persecutes, it receives a deadly wound, and then along comes another beast from the earth that has two horns, and it speaks, it acts like a dragon. It has two horns, which represent power, that are lamb-like. They're lamb-like horns. But then it begins to speak like a dragon, and it comes up out of the earth. Well, all these other powers came out of water, which represents multitudes, nations, kindreds, and tongues. But this nation really arose out of a great wilderness, which is what I think the symbol there of the earth is all about. And it becomes a power, and it gains great power, and it has so much power that it's able to lead the whole world into making an image to the Dark Age beast, or the Dark Age principles. And that great evil of the Dark Ages was that the church would control the state. And the American independence and Declaration of Independence and the Constitution turned that upside down, so to speak. Not upside down, but it said, no, the church cannot control the state. The state has no right to control the church. And these things operate not as enemies, but as exclusive friends, in the sense that the state is not persecuting the church or trying to direct it, but offering freedom for it to develop. And the church relies on God and not the strong arm of the state, God's power, in order to affect the change of hearts in men and women. The American dream of separation, and this has been misunderstood sometimes, separation of church and state, it's not a separation of hostility as atheists would have us to believe, and people have misunderstood that. It's not hostile. Religious freedom, or the state, is not hostile to religion in America. It is here to provide a place for it to be, to prosper, and it has. I mean, there's no more religious nation in the world than the United States of America, so to speak. So anyway, but this Revelation 13 pictures this change from lamb-like power to dragon power. And if you read Revelation chapter 12 and 13, you can find out who that dragon is. And that dragon always wants to use human beings or human organizations, and it'll use anybody's, to be an evil overlord. It's just like it's used the communists, and it's used the Nazis, and it's used the despot kings and religious priests, and that's both pagan and Christian at times, to be, dictators and people who have brought great suffering to people. Jesus never brought suffering. The disciples believed in freedom, and they never forced people to be Christians. They never drew a sword, put it at somebody's throat. You know, our Muslim back, you look at Muslim history, much of the conversion of Muslims were done at the edge of a sword. And that's true for a lot of the papal conquest as well. And there's been some Protestants, like I said earlier, that came to America, and they were going to use the sword or the gun or whatever to enforce their religious views. That's why Roger Williams had to run for his life. So, but the principle is satanic, that the church would be controlled by the state, or the church has, or the church controls the state and has the power to enforce its religious dogma, any religious dogma, on anybody else. So I thank God for American freedom, but I love this nation. I'm proud to be an American citizen. I've enjoyed its benefits, but Bible prophecy says this nation at some time, at some point in Revelation 13, will change, and it will lead the world because of its great power to make an image to the dark age principle of persecution, and it will lead the whole world into this. And God will not be pleased. The ultimate result of that will be the seven last plagues and the coming of Jesus, not only to redeem his people from the mark of the beast, but to also bring judgment on a rebellious world. And I don't want any of our listeners to be part of that side. We want all of our listeners to love Jesus, no matter what church they go to love Jesus with all their heart and to embrace the principle of his love and kindness that doesn't enforce religious views or violate people's conscience at the edge of a sword or the point of a gun.
Pastor Jay, this kind of parallels or intersects with the interview that we did during this period of time, which is Declaration at 250, Religious Liberty, Then and Now. And you took three programs to delve into this much deeper. And that is on Sundays at 11 a.m., Mondays at 8:30 p.m., and Tuesdays at 2:30 a.m., so they can do a deeper dive in those programs.
Yeah, for sure, and I thank you for bringing that up. So, and I have your panel there, so I'd like to ask a question to you guys that we can discuss. What is it that makes people, and looking at history and this wonderful experiment of American freedom that's so unique, what makes people so determined to enforce their view on other people, especially in religion? What drives religious organizations, and you can put them all in there, to at least all of them at some point have had a piece of that kind of action. I'm talking about world religions. Paganism's the same way. You go to Tibet and see how much religious freedom you have there with those Buddhist monks. You read the horrors of what they do to people that don't agree with them or want to have a different way of conscience. People think, oh, Buddhism is so nice. Well, just go read the history here of what they do. And they're many nice, good Buddhist people, so I'm not being anti-anybody. I'm just simply asking the question, what is it that drives human beings in the name of religion to bring great suffering and persecution on people that have a different viewpoint than they do about God?
Well, I'll take a stab at that, no pun intended. Whether it's at the family individual level or a religious group, pagan or Christian or somewhere in between, when we attempt to control the behavior, the thoughts, the beliefs of others, we've immediately gone into protection mode. Because you mentioned earlier about how even the Puritans, in the early century of this country's forming, when we were a colony of Britain, there were enforcement and of dogmas, church dogmas. And if you were not a Puritan, you could not have political office. You couldn't do a lot of things. And Roger Williams, ultimately, for standing against that, had to flee for his life. And this idea that we can protect and create our own environment where we're in charge and that will make us safe is the ultimate deception. And it goes right back to Eden, when Adam and Eve believed that they could do better than what God had promised and provided for them. And humanity has been making that same mistake ever since. And the Bible speaks very strongly about this. When a church seeks to enforce its doctrines or to accomplish its mission and use the arm of the state to do it, God says this is adultery, because the church is described as the bride of Christ, and the bride is to depend completely on her husband. And when she instead goes and seeks the civil power instead of the power of Christ, she is committing adultery. And ultimately, that is why the Babylon in Revelation is described as a harlot. She is unfaithful to her husband and seeks to work through the state to enforce her teachings.
You know, Cam, that is so true. It reminds me, in this current discussion about this kind of thing, there's an organization that has a lot of influence, and I just was listening to what they were teaching, and they're teaching this currently, that America is a Christian nation. Now, we should be a Christian nation because the people are good, not a Christian nation because we make Christianity our dogma, so to speak. But they say it's got to be a Christian nation, and that means that you can only, talking about the Puritans and what they were doing, that you can only vote. You can only vote if you're not considered a cult. Now, they didn't say who would consider the cults, but they listed a group of well-known denominations that they figured, and they concerned themselves as judges, or put themselves up as judges, that would not be allowed. We're talking about tens of millions of people in the United States that would not be allowed to vote unless they changed churches and got out of what they considered to be cults. Well, a lot of these, when we think of cults, we think about Jim Jones, something like that, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about religious people who, very good people, very kind people, but they go to the beat of a different drummer when it comes to their views on religion, and different from some evangelicals. And these were evangelicals. Not all evangelicals are that way. Hallelujah, praise God. But these were, this particular group were. And it's chilling when you listen to them want to make this a Christian nation, then they decide who's Christian, and only those people can vote. That's the future, I'm afraid, of where we may be headed, or something like it.
Yes, and the biggest reason that this happens, aside from thinking that we can control the environment and therefore provide safety for ourselves, we've often heard that those who are ignorant of history are bound to repeat it. And this is very true. The other side of that coin is those who are knowledgeable of history can also take advantage of it upon others.
True.
And that doubles down on the ignorance of those who don't know history and don't realize, oh, this idea you're selling me, it's a proven failure, and we're just going down the road to destruction like we did in the past, before even we were born.
Yeah, exactly. When we look at America and we look at its civil and religious freedom, which I think those two horns on that beast from the earth really represent, what has it done? It's given us the greatest nation that in history, not just on the face of the earth now, in history, there's no nation like it. It's great economic power, it's great military power, and I think it's only going to get stronger in the future. But also the religious issues are going to get stronger, and we're going to see great upheavals in nature. We're going to see great suffering in the world, because behind all of this is, as the Apostle Paul would say, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers and wickedness in high places. Unseen around us are fallen angels, Satan and his evil angels, and they are incorrigible, and they are doing everything they can to destroy human beings. They hate humans and deceive them and tempt them to destruction. Against them are the heavenly angels who are pushing back, in the forces of the Lord Jesus. So we look at it at the human level, where we see people saying these maddening kinds of things, but behind it, is a great controversy that's going on, and we are all watching that in real time. And the Bible has never been wrong. The prophets are never wrong.
Amen.
It may not look like they are going to be right, but they end up being right despite what looks different or opposite to it. The prophets are never wrong. And this world is headed for a final crisis, a crisis so big and so powerful, and it all centers around the mark of the beast. And the United States of America, with its great military power, its great economic power, is going to influence, I use the word influence, leads the rest of the world to embrace the principles of the Dark Ages, believing that they are pleasing God in doing so. And that's the great deception in the end of time, that you can please God by persecuting your fellow man because they worship different than you do or don't accept your dogma.
And Jesus said that that would be the very thing that would happen. He said, they will kill you thinking to do God's service because they do not know me or my Father.
That is so true. So I think to our listeners and to all of us, it's our duty to do everything we can to promote religious freedom, to praise God for the Declaration of Independence, to push back against well-meaning people, perhaps, that want to take that freedom away in the name of Christianity or in the name of God, and impose something. And by the way, if you take away people's political rights because of their religious viewpoints, persecution is sure to follow. It will certainly follow. They won't stop with taking away your right to vote. It'll go back to the Dark Ages and the terrible persecutions of the Dark Ages.
Yeah, you see that escalation in the latter half of Revelation 13, where first it starts with economic boycotting and then escalates up to, if you don't comply, we'll take your life.
Exactly.
And it's so important. Jesus, in his life on earth particularly, he said so many powerful things. And he shows us how to deal with those who do not understand the words coming out of their own mouth. Peter, when Jesus told the disciples, I must go to Jerusalem and die at the hands of the religious leaders, Peter piped up and he says, far be it from you, O Lord. And Jesus looked right at him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. You savor not the things that be of God, but those that be of man. I mean, wow, that's some pretty sharp words for Jesus to speak. He's addressing the influence that's causing Peter to speak those words. And when you look at how Jesus had worked with the disciples to that point and how he continued working with the disciples, and particularly the tender regard that he had for Peter, you know he loved Peter all the way. And this is the kind of mindset and the way that we're to treat those who differ in their views on life and how we should govern ourselves as a country and a people. We're called to treat them the same way Jesus treated Peter. It's like, understand where this is coming from. Look beyond to the source. He says, in another instance, you do the actions, you act out the will of your father, the devil. So Jesus did not mince words in identifying where people's fruits came from. And the scriptures are clear that certain fruits born in unselfish love are from God. Selfish fruits are born of the devil. So there's no unclear ground there. And he always spoke it in love, always looking to see that person, what they could be if they would give themselves to Jesus.
Well, listeners, you've been getting a little preview of the Ministry News lead article by Pastor Jay Gallimore on American freedom and the mark of the beast. So you can look at that on our website, str.fm or strongtowerradio.org. You were also listening to Cam Ferguson, John Duman, and myself, Tom Majeur. We'll be back after this break to continue the August preview.
The Bible and God's character are under attack like never before. The Bible is the Word of God and contains the good news of God's character and His plan of salvation. Won't you help Strong Tower Radio proclaim the veracity of the Bible? Go to our secure website at strongtowerradio.org or str.fm and click on the donate button or call 231-468-2087. Thank you for listening to and supporting Strong Tower Radio.
We're back with Strong Tower Radio's August preview, and we're in the second segment, and it's time to think about back to school. Well, John, the ads are already running, and I saw stuff for back to school a few weeks ago.
As did I. And this is kind of the dirge of most kids time of the year, I think.
Well, you know, there was that one commercial where the parents are saying it was the most wonderful time of the year, and they're getting their kids going to pick out their school supplies and so on and so forth.
Yeah, but the kids aren't. Typically, the kids aren't enjoying that.
But there's a couple of those students that absolutely love school.
Yeah. That, I think they're just a small number, though.
A minority, I see. Okay, well, we're talking about school. We have had an opportunity to look at some of the other schools around here. We're looking at Seventh-day Adventist School, a school system of 38 in-person schools in the state of Michigan. We looked at the Edenville School. In fact, John, they came to visit us.
They did.
And they did a field trip, and they recorded a program, and we put it on the air.
And I think officially they wore you out.
They did. They did. But it was a joyous time. And then I went down to Niles in southwestern Michigan to the Niles Adventist School. Wonderful school, great staff, longevity. You know it's a good school when the faculty stay around for a long time.
Absolutely.
And the parents speak highly of it. They have a kind of a nature emphasis. Outside of every single classroom, they have a boot rack. And it's not winter boots, it's mud boots, because they have a forest and a wood lot and a trail and a creek. And what kid, doesn't matter what age you're, they come back with muddy shoes, and they decided to not fight it but join it, and everybody has mud boots.
That's cool.
We're talking today with the Charlotte Adventist Christian School, and we're talking with one of the alumni, a guy who is giving back. At Sim Clements. He went to school all 8 years at this school and graduated. And now he is the principal. Now that talks about a full circle.
Absolutely.
So, Sim, it's a pleasure to have you. I've known most of your family. You have five children in your family, four siblings of yours. And tell
Correct.
Us a little bit about Charlotte Adventist Christian School. That's kind of southwest of Lansing, I presume.
That is correct. Southwest of Lansing, approximately 21, 22 miles, something like that, depending on which part of Lansing you're coming from. But yeah, you're exactly right. I had the privilege of having a Christian education when I was in my elementary years and on up even from there, and was able to be part of this school from first grade through eighth grade. And just a small correction, Tom, on what you said. You said I was the principal. I'm not the principal of the school, but I am the school board chair.
Well, that sounds very important to me. So how long have you been principal at the Charlotte Adventist Christian School?
I have been the board chair a lot longer than probably what I can really remember. It's at least 25 years, I'm going to say, maybe more.
Wow.
I actually don't remember, because I'd been a board member for several years ahead of that. So I don't remember exactly the time that I was asked to take the chair, but it's been at least 25, maybe even 30 years.
That's totally amazing. Tell us about this school, its size, its location, of course, is in Charlotte, but it's on a large lot with a large area to play, and you have all the facilities that every school needs to. It has a accreditation, certification, and such. Tell us about this classroom size, the environment, what the curriculum's all about.
All right. Well, just high level, and then of course we can get deeper into it if we choose. But on a high level, it's a small elementary school, and it's basically a in most cases, a one-room, multi-grade school. And we are certainly part of the greater Adventist Christian education system that is worldwide. But specifically, our accreditation, you know, comes through the North American division. And so we certainly are governed by, you know, the accreditations that are all part of that system. I like to tell people that I think the advantages to a small one-room classroom like we currently have is that I believe students get more of a individualized mentoring and attention as needed, of course. And, you know, not only by our full-time, you know, certified principal teacher, but then at least in many cases, a full-time aide, as well as, you know, there's at different times we have volunteers come in to help in certain areas. But I also like to tell people that, and because I, you know, personally experienced it, not only for myself personally, but also even for my wife and I, who have two children that are, you know, adult and have families of their own now. But like our daughter, when she was in seventh and eighth grade, you know, the teacher basically had, and it's not just her, this is something that happens at different times where a teacher will suggest that even one of the older students help to tutor, of course, under the direction of the teacher and oversight of the teacher, but to help out in other younger students in the younger grades. And I think that not only helps the overall program, but it helps to, you know, to further cement, you know, the educational experience of the child that is stepping up and doing such.
Absolutely. And I can attest to the same. I was in a multi-grade classroom and I heard the upper grades being taught a concept. I was listening very closely. I remember being in the second and third grade, and by the time I got up to fourth grade, it's like, this is old stuff. I've already heard this before, you know? And sometimes we were able to, like you said, with your daughter or granddaughter, that they have an opportunity to, the best learning you get is sometimes when you're sharing it with somebody else.
That's true.
And what's interesting about these schools, and I've interviewed probably two-thirds of them across the state of Michigan, is that learning, if you're in a, you think about crops, that you grow a monocultural crop, they all grow at the same rate. I drove by a field, a cornfield today, and everything is the same size and such, but often none of the crops really grow beyond a certain level. But when you're in a multi-grade classroom, you can grow as fast as you're capable of growing. It can be individual teaching and customized. You're not held back because somebody else is going slower.
That is true. It allows, as needed, for the lesson plans to be, you know, customized to the needs of the child. Whether that's a child that maybe is struggling a little bit and a grade or two behind, or one that literally needs to be challenged more, but it allows for that kind of flexibility.
Absolutely. You know, when we think of one-room schools or one-teacher schools, you think of something in the old days with limited resources and only a few textbooks and so on and so forth. It's nothing like that today because there are certain standards. You mentioned about a teacher's aide, and often resourceful teachers in these schools are tapping into the community, the grandparents, retired people, people with passions and interests that bring value to the classroom. So it's a dynamic place.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I kind of mentioned before, Tom, is that, you know, though we're, you know, just a small local school, we're part of a worldwide educational system. And, you know, our curriculum is long since, vetted and gone through quite a lengthy process before it rolls down to, you know, through the different layers from the NAD and down through the, local conferences and everything that gets to the educational department of our Michigan conference up in Lansing, Michigan. But so there is, my point is that we as a school board locally, we don't choose the curriculum and we just are administrators and not having to go through those extra steps that has long since been, chosen for, all the right reasons and stuff and been vetted.
And that curriculum being tried and true in over thousands and thousands of classrooms and teachers, and it's highly refined and it's good to go. And the beautiful part about it is it's Christ-centered.
Amen.
Highest standards, Christ-centered. How is Christianity and Christian principles integrated into the daily instruction in your classroom?
Well, we believe, like I believe all of our schools believe, is that there's no greater source of all knowledge and wisdom than, Jesus Christ, the God we serve. And having a child ultimately have their relationship with God, with Jesus, grow. That is our number one goal. In fact, our mission statement of our school, and each school I'm sure has its own mission statement, but ours is to know God and make Him known, led by Jesus, loving and learning, living to serve, and quality in all. And I think really that wraps up just everything that we are all about. Academics are extremely important. I think we would all agree to that. But ultimately, all knowledge is important, as it's most important, as it's seen through the eyes of our Creator.
Amen. And talk about testing and quality control. There is regular testing, and they can bring out the statistics that show that these small classrooms actually excel and have some of the best results when students are enrolled for a few years, that their test scores excel and the curve goes vertical and trending, and it's just totally amazing. In our previous interview section, I asked Pastor Jay Gallimore, he was part of the education system that oversees the Adventist schools, Seventh-day Adventist schools in the state of Michigan. And I said, can you tell me a story about a positive experience about the Charlotte Adventist Christian School? And the one that came to mind to him was that you had one student that had a form of juvenile diabetes, and and the school teacher had such compassion. She went and got trained on how to administer and to treat this child so that they could stay in school. That is going above and beyond, and says a lot about the teachers that are hired by Charlotte Adventist Christian School.
Absolutely. Being a small school, I already mentioned about how more individualized attention can that take place. And that's a good example of it, where, this child, there was an added comfort level to the parents and to the child, knowing that, there was a trained person that had gone the extra mile to go through that training and be available.
Absolutely. Now, do you have school programs?
Oh, absolutely. You mean as far as programs that the school puts on?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, certainly there's at least a couple times a year, usually more than that even, but at minimum there's, we usually have a love dinner with a program that is around the Valentine's time of the year in the winter time there. There's always a Christmas program. There's always this year-ending, school year-ending program. But there's many smaller things in between where, you know, the school children will perform, whether musically or in whatever way it might be. But, yeah, a lot of different programs at different times.
Well, Sim, I understand that registration was last Thursday, but there's still an opportunity to still get your children enrolled at Charlotte Adventist Christian School. How could that, what provisions have been made for our listeners who are hearing this after the formal registration process?
Well, we certainly have open registration, and having a late registration is not an issue for those that have a strong interest. Certainly would recommend that somebody would either contact me or our principal teacher. And again, my name is Sim Clements, and my direct phone is area code 517-667-0121. Again, 517-667-0121. Or our principal teacher is Karis Yoruba, and Karis's phone number is area code 306-535-5736. Again, 306-535-5736. So yeah, and anybody that's even, they're not sure if how strong their interest is, but I've got different materials that I'd be willing to get to anybody that has an interest, and a couple pamphlets that I can give, as well as even a DVD that tells a little bit more about our school systems.
Well, Sim, it seems like you've removed every barrier to being enrolled at your school. That just strikes me that the school board chairman and the teacher and the principal are willing to talk to the parents, give their contact information, and accommodate the desires of parents for their children or their grandchildren.
Well, Tom, with your permission, I want to tell a story. That because if there's one barrier that many parents think is a barrier when they consider private Christian education, is there is a tuition involved. And that sometimes seems insurmountable to families that are already on a tight budget. But if I can just, you know, and I'll keep it short, I'll take a very long story and keep it as short as I can. But when my mom first became associated with our church, our local church, she immediately became interested in having me and my siblings part of our local school. She brought this desire up to my dad, and my dad was not open in any way initially, and said, we can't afford that. There's no way that we can afford to be able to do that. And so he kind of shut it right down, and, you know, a short period of time went by, and one day he came back. And by the way, you know, my dad also is a strong believing Christian. He must have been praying about it as well. But he came back a short time later and said, are you still interested in our children being part of that school? And she says, well, yes, of course. And he said, well, maybe I might have found a way to make it happen. And so, again, trying to keep it short, but my dad was a businessman. He was specifically, he worked for a manufacturing firm and was purchasing manager of that corporation. He, right shortly after my mom had made the request for us to attend the school, he had been contacted by a long-term supplier that had been supplying a specific component to them, and said they were now exiting the business and no longer was going to be providing this hinge. And quite frankly, it was just a storm door hinge back a few years ago, many years ago. You know, storm doors were much more prevalent when prime doors weren't, you know, as insulated as they have become in more recent years. But anyway, he decided that he was going to approach the owner of the company and ask whether or not there was any way that if he could, under contract, so always supply this hinge at a cost less than what they had been paying up to that point, would he, the owner, be interested in allowing that to happen. And they basically, the owner said, absolutely. And so the bottom line is my dad went to work on tooling up and purchased some machinery and stuff in order to be able to produce this hinge. And like I said, long story short, I went all the way through elementary school along with my siblings, 100% paying our tuition by manufacturing these hinges in our basement. And then it goes even further than that. We even in the secondary or high school level, which has even higher tuition, we were able to continue to pay our tuition through, again, the same means. And then at some point, after we all got through high school and beyond, my wife and I had actually taken over the hinge business years later, or a few years later, and took it over. And that same provision, which I believe was directly from God, allowed our children also to go to church school and have their tuitions paid, as well as many other students at the time that could come over after school and go through the assembly process of these hinges. So I guess I just want to, you know, tell people listening to this today that where there is a will, that God does have a way, and he can provide if we want something to happen bad enough, and it's something that is certainly within his will, which a Christian education, I believe, would always be. I'm proof of that. And so anyway, it was something that not only benefited us, but it benefited many other students in our school, as well as neighborhood kids and other families. So there was a lot of income that helped many people all through that stepping out in faith.
Sam, it's been a blessing to hear this story and to hear about the Charlotte Adventist Christian School. And I wish you to have a good school year this year. God bless, and thank you for being a part of Strong Tower Radio today's August preview.
Thank you.
Can I ask you to do me a favor? I'll get right to the point. We could use your prayers and financial support. Please remember to pray for Strong Tower Radio every day, and if you think of it, more often. Also, we really need you to take some time to go to our secure website, that's www.strongtowerradio.org, and click on that donate button. Do what the Lord impresses you to do. Thank you for listening and supporting Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
We're back with Strong Tower Radio August preview. Cam Ferguson, take it away.
Thank you, Tom. I wrote a couple articles for this newsletter. One is a Changing Lives testimony about Pam and how she discovered Strong Tower Radio while commuting at 5:30 a.m. one morning, and the person on the air sounded just like Paul Harvey. It's actually the late Joe Cruz, and he has an arresting 15-minute program that really keeps you engaged and just tells how, in just a few short words, her experience over 8 months of listening and how she vetted what she heard on Strong Tower Radio and how she found that it's true. And she moved forward in faith, and now she is a member of the church family there in her area in Ontario, Canada, the province. And then I also wrote an article called Experiencing the Truth that explored how in the recent Soccer World Cup, mm-hmm, matches, many people, especially from Europe, came to the United States, and what they had been told by friends and media in their home countries did not match what they experienced in America. They had very positive experiences for the most part, and they went back with a very different view of the United States and its people, and how that's so much like what God experiences when so many people have been told and seen terrible witnesses, even from Christians. And then when they get to know God, it's like, wow, it's nothing like what I heard before. And that's why we're here. Strong Tower Radio is here to proclaim the truth of God's character of love. And thank you, listener, for helping us to do that very thing every day, 24/7, 365.
Amen. Cam, I just got news just in the last week or two that two of Strong Tower Radio's listeners are going to be baptized in the next couple of weeks.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He keeps working through the airwaves to reach people and draw them to him.
I was down in the Ionia area, and the largest number of inmates in the state of Michigan is in the Ionia area. And they have a very active prison ministries program down there. And many of prisoners, inmates, are Strong Tower Radio listeners.
Mm, captive audience.
Yes, and you know what? They actually listen longer than most people do, too.
Oh, praise the Lord for the interest.
We want to make sure that we keep the power, full power, that that station, so they can hear it all the time. So we got to keep that revenue, that station strong and financially going. Telling about the current events that are coming up, we have the Strong Tower Radio camp meeting is coming the 29th and 30th. It's only in person. We want you to live and breathe. We're going to talk about dominion, God's dominion. Satan is not in control, but God is.
Amen. And what were those dates?
Those are Friday, August 28th, starting at 6 p.m. and continuing all day Saturday, August the 29th.
Okay.
Great. And the other programs that we've done is Shame and Mental Health. Did that with a psychiatrist there. You'll enjoy that program. You've seen a lot about vaping today. It just seems that's a big deal. Well, the evidence is coming. Kind of like Cam, it's like smoking at first. They said, oh, it's not that dangerous, whatever.
Oh, they used to say it was good for your health.
Yes, yes. Well, they're finding out the vaping is a moving target. Talk to a leading researcher. You've heard of Underwriting Laboratories. This is an Underwriting Laboratories Chemical Insights. You'll enjoy that program. We have we talked about that Prison Ministries program. You can hear that on the week of August 9th. Right here on Strong Tower Radio. We went to Andrews University, Faith and Material Science. A professor, dearly beloved him, Professor Boonshai Nai, and he brings faith into the classroom. We look at the Andrews University Animal Husbandry Program, and well, Linda Clark and her Lifestyle Practices Program. Great programs that are all lined up for Strong Tower Radio.
Sounds like a powerful lineup, Tom.
It sure is. We've got that. We also added the Mud Guy. God's Great Earth is now broadcasting on Strong Tower Radio, and we're bringing a new program to us, which is Starting with Jesus. It's a children's training program, the good stories, and a Bible is through and through the curriculum.
Yeah, I listened to that Mud Guy recently on a Sunday morning when I was driving somewhere. Some of the soundtracks really make me laugh.
All right. It's geared to a young people's audience,
yes.
And everybody does enjoy it. Well, that kind of wraps up the preview for August. We have the new ministry news. You can check that out on strongtowerradio.org. On the front page, you can click on it and read the rest of the stories that we didn't cover in this edition. And we also have the camp meeting. Do not forget that camp meeting. It's the first in-person here in Cadillac. The address is South 45 Road. That's 7669 45 Road in Cadillac, Michigan, starting at 6 p.m. on Friday the 29th and all day Saturday. Come and be blessed. For Strong Tower Radio, for John Duman, for Cam Ferguson, of course, Pastor Jay Gallimore, and myself, yours truly, Tom Azure. Have a blessed day. God bless. Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.